covers the latest revelations about Trump's connections to Russia, and they take your calls.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please join us.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub in Portland. This event features food, drink, live music, fortune-telling, and more. The Columbia SLU Watershed Council works to clean up the Columbia SLU. They teach environmental education in schools, engage volunteers to plant trees, and nature festivals. Again, that's Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub, 1036 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.
All right, let's dispense with the introductory music today. There's just so much to talk about. So much.
So much.
Yeah.
How do we possibly keep up? I do need to be responsible and say this is KBOO, 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And the number to call, 231-8187.
We'll start out being responsible and then we'll go quickly.
Yeah, and
it's
Abe and Joe. He's Abe, I'm
that's
Joe.
That's right. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. See how that works?
See,
yes.
That's so
lots
cool.
To talk about. Lots to talk about today.
Okay.
It was a bad week for the orange guy.
Oh, the orange guy.
The orange guy.
Did you see
in
they,
the White
they,
House?
Everywhere he goes, they have that balloon thing of him. It's hilarious. Orange yeah, the, guy in diapers.
Yeah, the big giant floating baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I like that.
Yeah, we should do something similar for you.
What?
Yeah, some balloon that follows you around everywhere you go.
Uh-oh.
I would find that amusing.
You would find
it. I do.
You would, hopefully nobody else would find it amusing, but I'm afraid they might. I don't want to think about that. You've now scared me.
So here's what's going on.
Yeah.
In case you haven't been paying attention.
I have not.
The president of the United States is irredeemably corrupt.
No.
That's point number one. Point number two, this past week, for the second consecutive week, one of the major players in the Trump-Russia scandal and one of Trump's former closest cohorts pleaded guilty to lying to Congress.
Yeah, but, you know, he knows the best people.
Yeah, he does. I'm talking about Michael Cohen. This comes on the heels of a similar plea the week before from Paul Manafort, also claimed to be lying to Congress. Manafort, it also appears, has been an ongoing mole within the Mueller investigation, feeding information to the Trump White House while this has all been going on.
Well, he seems almost like a compulsive liar. Actually.
Well, he does. So does Trump, so you can see the attraction there.
Oh, yeah. It's a bromance.
It's something.
Yeah.
Why this is important for a number of reasons, and a lot of people are speculating, and I tend to think they're correct, that the reason that Manafort has continued to feed information to Trump, even as he has been imprisoned, is that Trump has dangled a pardon in front of him. Keep cooperating with us,
oh, yeah,
dude.
I'm sure. He not only found the best people to, best corrupt people to run the government, he also promises them freedom from prosecution.
Yeah. So Manafort, I guess, seeing a chance to avoid dying in prison, and again, you can see the attraction, has decided to continue to feed information to Donald Trump. So he was another charge was handed out to him for that. Michael Cohen recently pleaded guilty also to lying to Congress, this time regarding the meeting the infamous meeting in July 2016 about the proposed Trump Tower development in Moscow, which was sort of the crack through which all the Russian influence came.
Yeah, well, Trump needed that big building. He is a real edifice needer.
Yeah, yeah. He needs big, tall things.
Phallic kind of
pointing
things.
Towards the sky.
Exactly.
Yeah. For reasons we won't speculate on this program.
Well, maybe we will.
So this is, you know, I think that I'm not alone in saying that the staying abreast of the details of the Trump-Russia investigation has been daunting, to say the least, because there's so many moving parts.
Well, and it's hard to know which thing to highlight.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to know which thing to highlight.
And after you do your presentation, I'm going to talk about another really offensive thing.
Okay. So lots of moving parts, lots going on, hard to know what to focus on, what not to focus on, and all the whole situation complicated all the while by the ongoing parade of dumb that is the Trump administration.
Yeah, it's really, you know, not only are they corrupt and really venal, they're stupid.
Yeah, yeah, the stupidity, the tweets, the lies, every day the lies, not only from Trump but from his press secretary. The incredibly dumb decisions, like the knee-jerk imposition of tariffs on a number of commodities. Oh, I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the fawning, I won't go on and on and on.
You're not going to go on and
no.
on?
No.
Okay.
So I want to quote now from a post on TalkingPointsMemo.com, which, if you're not reading, you should read every day.
What is that again?
TalkingPointsMemo.com.
Oh, yeah. I wanted people to know.
Okay. Run by a guy named Josh Marshall, really at the very top shelf of independent online journalism happening today. He's not just a blogger. He runs a full news operation out of TalkingPointsMemo.com, and it's really top-notch stuff. So I'm going to read now from a recent post of his. We can now see documentation and confessions that outline some of what has always seemed probable. During the campaign, for roughly the first year of the campaign, Donald Trump was actively trying to strike business deals in Russia with the help of Vladimir Putin's government and working closely with members of the Russian intelligence services. A man named Felix Sater was working with all of these people. Trump's dealmaker and Russian money channel handler Michael Cohen literally reached out to Putin's press office and spoke to a member of the staff to enlist a Russian government's assistance. I want to pause for a second here. So try to imagine how this plays out. Okay, so you're Michael Cohen, right?
Yeah.
Trump wants to build something in Russia.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you want to get an inside track with the Russian government. So you call the press office.
Boy, that makes sense.
Hi, can I speak to Vlad, please? I mean, if the wreckage wasn't so horrible, it would be really funny. It's still really funny.
I don't think he's going to get to build his tower.
I don't think he will. And in fact, the thing I mentioned earlier about dying in prison, that might have a wider application than simply the two guys I was talking about.
Trump will never go to jail.
Okay. Cohen literally reached out to Putin's press office and spoke to a member of the staff to enlist the Russian government's assistance. This was while Trump was already the clear frontrunner for the nomination. So preparing in advance to violate the Emoluments Clause, you might say. As this was happening, Putin's intelligence services were stealing emails and documents from various arms of the Democratic Party. They were mounting various information operations within the United States. As this was happening, a bankrupt and desperate political fixer who'd been working for a Putin loyalist for a decade showed up wanting to work for the campaign for free. That's Paul Manafort, a longtime business partner of Roger Stone, another member of the conspiracy.
The best people.
Yes, the best people. Did they work with WikiLeaks? Yes. There was a back channel between Trump and WikiLeaks, murkily conducted through Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi and likely others.
Oh, Jerome, he says he was going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Requests for help in one direction, information and assistance in the other. President Trump has been at war with the Russia investigation from the get-go for an obvious and totally logical reason. The depth of his personal involvement in and knowledge of the conspiracy amounts to a devastating indictment of him and his presidency. It all makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Trump is in this up to his neck. Any pleas of ignorance that he might make are a lie.
Well, we have to remember how stupid he is.
We do have to remember how stupid he is. But here, there's been subtle tells, too, that things are coming to a head. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary who lies all the time.
Oh, poor woman.
Up until this last week, the formulation, the linguistic formulation that she used to talk about Trump's role in all this was, there was no collusion. period, right. A blanket statement. No collusion. Last week, for the first time, she said the president was not involved in any collusion.
Ah, changing tone, subtle difference.
Subtle difference, yes. Now, when you add in some other factors, including the number of indictments and guilty pleas and plea deals that have already been worked out.
The best people.
The best people, again. You got to feel like there's a pretty substantial case being built. A number of these indictments have been sealed until such time as Bob Mueller presumes to unveil them, which, again, seems like it's probably going to be pretty soon.
Well, what about this guy that Trump just put in as if he was the attorney general? Acting attorney general.
Well, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Okay, sure. I don't want to rush it.
Okay, so you factor in this other stuff, all the indictments that have been handed out. It all looks like things are coming down pretty quickly.
I'm getting bored with the whole thing.
I'm not. This is fascinating. Well,
I know
stuff.
You love it, since I have a perspective that says it's all.
Yeah, but see,
anyway.
See, they're hoping that you're going to get bored with it all. So please, Joe, don't get bored with it all.
Well, I have an exciting story after you're done.
Right. So this seems to me, if you're reading the tea leaves here, that this is the beginning of the end game. And we may see some pretty heavy dominoes fall, up to and including Donald Trump Jr. in this next wave.
Oh, Donald Trump Jr.
Indictments.
The guy who looks like he might be an idiot.
He looks, sounds like he might be an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Just to be fair. All right. Might be.
Right. Right. So those are the broad outlines of what's going on. And I'm relaying this now because, as I mentioned earlier, this has been it's been difficult to present this in terms of broad outlines because it's been so convoluted and so obscured.
And so broadly. So this is like nothing that I can think of, even Andrew Jackson's terrible behavior, even Harding's criminal behavior, nothing like this has ever, ever happened before, as far as I know.
Yeah, I guess Nixon is the closest analog. He was far smarter than these guys.
He was smarter, and he had the brains to realize he was screwed and he better get out of it.
Yes, but Trump is a thin-skinned narcissist and megalomaniac. I don't think you're ever going to get him to that place. When he goes down, he's going to go down screaming and in flames.
I like that.
I do too.
I really think that, I like that. I want to see him forced to run a gauntlet like in the Game of Thrones of people throwing you-know-what at him.
Well, that might be a little extreme.
No,
I would
not at all.
Him being handcuffed and frog marched out of the White House.
Frog marched
I would be
is
happy
good.
With that.
That always hurts around the, you know.
It does. So again, you're listening to the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program, KBOO, where we wish horrible fates upon people.
Yeah, this is the show where we get psychologically even.
That's right. All right, so what were you going to talk
well,
about?
Well, I wanted to, this is just a, you know, this is just another outrage. Trump said when he was running for office that he would get the best people. He would have the mm-hmm. best cabinet. It would be, you know, just geniuses that knew their way around and they were really good and so on. He immediately went out and found all the worst people you could imagine, mm-hmm. one of whom is Alex Acosta. From Florida.
Yes.
Who he's now Secretary of Labor. He was a prosecutor, federal prosecutor in Palm Beach. And there was a guy, a creepy guy, who was his buddy, who went ahead, a guy named Epstein, who went ahead in his life with talking young women. I mean, when I say young, I'm not talking, you know, like 18 or 19. I'm talking like 12 or 13 young women, or I don't even know if they're women, young children, female children, who he then introduced to a life of sex and money and prostituted. And this guy Epstein finally got caught, and then he was to be charged. And all, now this is an important fact, all of these women ranging in age from very young to you know, 20 year olds, 20 some odd year olds, all of them essentially were used and abused, and there are real crimes here, including statutory rape. None of them were part of the plea deal this guy made. None of them was given the right to have, as they ought to have, an attorney to respond to these criminal things that were done to them because they were not of an age of consent. This is, you know, this is really bad. Now, it would be bad for anybody to have been doing that as a systematic way to make, I don't know what.
Let's be really clear about who Epstein is.
Okay.
He's not just a dude.
No.
He's a billionaire financier.
Yes.
Formerly an employer of Bear Stearns. Remember, Bear Stearns was one of the firms that collapsed.
Oh, yeah, Bear Stearns.
Precipitating the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah.
And good friends with a lot of very powerful people.
Well, yeah.
Including Donald Trump. In fact, Epstein and Trump were the target of a lawsuit in April 2016 by a woman in California who alleged that the two men sexually assaulted her in 1994.
Probably true. Almost certainly true. I mean, these guys were creepy beyond anything you or I have ever thought about or imagined or experienced, for that matter. I mean, it was really bad. So they negotiate secretly an arrangement where this Epstein guy pleads guilty to a couple of felonies in this, essentially where he's going to have to serve a small amount of jail time, 6 days a week, in a private wing of the Palm Beach County prison jail. So it's like an open door deal. He has to go there for, I think, 12 hours a day. And then that's the evening. And then in the daytime, he can continue on at his office and work.
So multiple counts.
And off on weekends.
Multiple counts of pedophilia. And this deal was brokered by this guy.
The current Secretary
of Labor.
Of Labor, yeah. Alex Acosta.
Oh, the best people.
Oh, the best people. I mean, this is so egregious. This is so disgusting. This is so bizarre that I cannot help but tell it. You know, I know it's not in the great scheme of awful stuff of the Trump administration. It's probably, for most people, seen as kind of small. But, you know, they essentially were abusing women. They essentially were misusing women. They essentially were running a prostitution ring. By the way, Prince Andrew, the royal prince of England, was apparently involved with some of the women through this prostitution operation.
Prince Andrew, huh?
Prince Andrew.
Huh.
Handsome lad.
Well, I thought
Bonnie lad.
Okay. There's... Okay.
Don't go any further than that. It's just enough to throw in the fact that the royals are just as...
I thought they were William and Harry. I thought they were the two princes.
Well, it's just...
Maybe Andrew's from another branch of the royal.
I may be.
I'm not up on British royalty, so sue me.
It's okay.
All right.
I'm not going to sue you, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, because I got it from the New York Times, the failing New York Times. Yeah, today actually, and you know the thing is that this is a really really egregious example of the exploitation of young women, and in fact Trump made reference to. To Epstein, who is a friend of his, as you know, he said, well, you know, he likes young women.
Hmm.
As in what? I mean, this is so creepy. And it's just, I mean, this is one of the best people. His Secretary of Labor is a creep, and the whole administration is creepy. And I wanted to bring this, because it's all so awful, relatively minor because it's so awful, terrible thing. And this guy continues to be Secretary of Labor, and I bet you that Trump will never fire him.
Yeah, probably he won't.
He's certainly not qualified to be Secretary of Labor, but what does that matter?
Yeah. It's part of your family values. And this goes on to beg a question that we've brought up on the show many, many times. There are intelligent conservatives who are decent people out there. Believe me, I know some of them. They are my friends.
Yeah, but then there's the right. Recently dead George Bush.
Yeah, well, you're right. But I keep putting this question to them. Okay. you guys nominated Donald Trump. You nominated Donald Trump. How do you separate your party from this guy? They are now one and the same. You had an opportunity, several opportunities, to nominate several prominent old-line conservatives, right?
Yeah, but they were little.
Little. Well, Jeb Bush is not a little guy. He was just low energy Jeb.
Yeah. Right.
But they chose not to. They chose to nominate this guy.
Well, he was flashy and arrogant and caught the attention of a lot of people who normally don't pay any attention to politics.
But this is, you know, it's hard really to formulate exactly how this happened. I think it happened over a period of years, maybe even decades, in which within conservatism there's a gradual retreat from the world of reality as we understand it, the world of empiricism as we understand it, such that now we live in a situation where a significant chunk of the electorate, roughly one-third of the electorate, now believes that the world is not as we actually perceive it to be. The world is not actually how reputable news agencies describe it to be. That is all fake. Reality, actually, is something completely different. And this reality is reinforced to them by a very narrow echo chamber of media sources that tell them essentially what they want to hear over and over and over again.
Well,
and so they have retreated, just a second, further and further into this bubble of militant nationalism, ethno-nationalism, which brooks no assault from the outside, which cannot stand up to the weight of empiricism, which cannot withstand any sort of challenge that is grounded in reality, but they don't care. And the more this is pointed out to them, the deeper they dig into their heels, the farther they retreat from reality. It's like this vicious negative feedback loop that keeps turning them into more and more horrible people, such that finally they nominate a guy for president who rejects all of the values that they have claimed to represent for generations now. And they supported him. Why? Because he hates the same people that they hate. That is the sole reason that Donald Trump was nominated president by the Republican Party.
Well, he also gives a sense of empowerment to these people. You're fired.
Yeah.
On TV, NBC, they have paid attention to this. It's NBC that made him the man he became, who became president.
I think he was always that man. They just gave him a national platform.
Well, that's not just.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's an important fact. I think we should probably go to the phones. I think there's many other horrible Trump stories.
All right, the phone number to call, 503-231-8187. You can also write to us at the Facebook page, facebook.com/AbeandJoe, and you can tweet at HonestAbe72. Let's go to Christy. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to refer back to that Jeffrey Epstein story.
Yeah, it's an important indicator.
So I have been fascinated by that story for a long time, because it's been in the news for a long time. It's just, I think it kind of comes and goes.
Yeah.
And so first of all, Prince Andrew is like he's like an uncle. He's the older generation.
Oh,
he's
thank not, you. Thank you. Well, it figures like he'd be an older guy somehow.
Yeah, and well, so all of those dudes are all kind of the same age. So you left out Bill Clinton, which I thought was funny.
Was he a candidate? I appreciate of the young women.
He was a friend of Jeffrey Epstein.
Here's the umbrella story, just for whoever cares, because as I said, I think it's fascinating. So Jeffrey Epstein had a private jet, and he basically let people use his private jet to fly all over the world. Like, he would take people to Africa. I mean, I think Bill Clinton, maybe he took him to Africa for a couple of things. But so he had these flight logs, you know, where you have to say who's on your plane.
Right.
And it was a big deal when it first came out, like, who flew on his plane? Because that's where a lot of this nefarious activity apparently happened. And it's kind of a who's who of everybody. It doesn't matter what party you're, you know. And so Bill Clinton was a favorite. Alan Dershowitz was a favorite.
Oh, Alan Dershowitz, never mind. I can't use that word on the radio.
Right. So basically, I think of Jeffrey Epstein as kind of like he's analogous to the big problem and of the fact that none of this stuff is party specific. You know, like, these guys all are kind of gross.
No, I want to I just interrupt you for a second. I think it's really important to understand that it is not party specific, that it is an endemic and ugly phenomenon that's been going on for quite a while. The only thing that makes it really different is that this president is so unqualified and so creepy and so far out. But go ahead.
Oh, for sure. But my point is, in terms of being analogous to a situation, so everybody's putting a lot of faith and hope into discovering financial corruption as being the thing that's going to take Trump down, which I fully support, obviously. But my concern has always been, again, kind of like this Jeffrey Epstein thing, that there are people involved who, as their names get closer and closer to being exposed, will put the brakes on people who are, more Democratic Party people. And so my concern has been this entire time that people are going to put all their eggs in this basket, and Mueller's going to save us, it's going to be great. And just before anything really happens, there are going to be people who are like, oh, you know, my name's going to be in the news. And all of a sudden, everything's going to come to a screeching halt. So that's and I don't want to be super.
No, I'm glad. I really think it's important that you bring out the fact this is not, while we are clearly grossed out by the present administration and its extremes And it's incredible extremes, including the destruction of the climate and so on. Beyond all of that, the fact of the matter is that the United States for a long, long time has had a corrupt ruling set of powers, whether or not they were Democrats or Republicans. Exactly. Now, that is not to say there aren't progressive Democrats, because there are. But that's not who we're talking about. The Clintons were a big disappointment, and charming though he was, and the decision to run Hillary and to give her the nomination, and I think really because they thought a woman would win. I mean, this is really misusing a person. Anyway, all
yes,
of that.
I think you're right.
All of that, you know, and then she ends up being. She was a wrong. She could not do the job. There are other women in the world that could have done it quite well, and all the world.
She
has,
was not misused.
Very divisive
she wanted
character.
To be the president.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she
and
was
she wanted to be the president.
Yeah, but you know, if your kid says, "I want to stick my pen in the electric socket," you don't say, "Oh, go ahead and see what happens."
But anyway, that's what I wanted to say. Thank you for letting me on.
Yeah,
there.
Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thank you. Very good call.
We got calls.
Yeah, let's go to Pear. Good morning.
Pear, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
I think that previous caller made some great points. You know, bipartisanship at its most revolting.
Really?
But, you know, there's one point that people that I keep getting back to. There's a guy named William Binney who was with the NSA for 30 years. He was a technical director.
Uh-huh.
And he said that the DNC material could not have been hacked because of the time involved. And he laid it all out.
Huh.
He said it had to been leaked. Somebody put a thumb drive in and just downloaded all this stuff and then passed it on. Now, that is a very specific allegation. And if, I don't know if this guy who, this Marshall fellow, if he goes into that at all, but the narrative you're getting from, from the anti-Trump people is that they ignore it. They don't say that, they don't put it down. They don't put any, they don't argue against it. They just ignore it. And I think that's really wrong. That makes me question the whole thing. And I think it relates to, Julian Assange is being kept prisoner. His health is failing, and there's been apparently deals made with Ecuador to somehow revoke his citizenship. And so there's a lot going on here that is being ignored.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's not ever untrue. That is, a lot goes on we don't get to know, or get to know only from alternative sources and can't tell how real it is and exactly what it is. But you're right. There is a lot of that. And I indeed do not have great hope for the old Democratic, so-called liberal Democratic establishment, which includes the Clintons. They were not what we needed. We do not have what we needed. What we need is, someone, ignoring the patrician qualities of him, someone like Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We need a good liberal president of the United States, regardless of sex or ethnicity or whatever. We need that. And I'm not seeing it happen, and I'm afraid that the reaction to the horror of this administration is going to go on for a long, long time, and it's not going to address any of the really serious issues, one of which, again, is climate, as the fact the climate is oncomingly awful. I'm going to let you go, and I want to thank you for the call, man. We're going to go to...
Francis. Good morning, Francis.
No, we got Bill.
Oh, Bill. Sorry, Bill.
Sorry, we've got
Francis,
to go to Bill
hang on.
Next.
We'll get to you in a second.
Bill, you're on the air.
Well, you're certainly not going to like what I have to say. I knew the 2016 election was lost when I heard the younger of the two of you say that when you were younger, you did some hard physical labor jobs. And the deplorables, deserve every bad thing that happens to them.
I don't remember saying that.
Something along those lines.
Okay.
Wait.
It shows a tremendous lack of empathy.
No, hang on. No. I'm not going to let that go right by. You're speaking very broad terms about something I may or may not have said. I suspect the context. In fact, I know the context has not been established. And no, I'm not going to just sit here and take that.
Wow.
So unless you've got some specifics about what you're accusing me of, you should just hang up. Now go ahead.
Look, I know the gist of Joe Urias's career. He was given the opportunity to go to Reed, and because he was politically acting out, he dropped out of Reed.
None of that is true. That's amazing.
Columbia.
Yeah, you are 0 for 2. All right, you're going to take another swing?
Look, you don't have a PhD. I have a PhD with honors from Harvard, with an advisor who was given the Medal of Science by Bill Clinton.
Congratulations.
The guy didn't like some of my terminology, so he basically said to me, well, you got some interesting ideas here, but I don't like your terminology, so I'm not going to recommend you for a job. So he basically ruined my life by throwing me out of my career in mathematical learning theory.
I'm really sorry that happened to you. I'm not sure where that goes into what we're talking about.
You're a lucky guy in that you don't have a PhD, but you did somehow get a stable teaching job
in
the humanities.
Excuse me, Joe does have a PhD.
The economy is like a crazy...
Strike three,
like,
you're
okay,
out.
We're out. That's enough.
Don't call the show again.
What's the deal there?
I have no idea what that was about.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Francis.
Is the education and...
No,
he's still talking
on
to himself.
All right.
Good morning, Francis.
I have a BS degree.
Okay. All right. and I are a doctor, you know.
I'm constantly reminded that I'm old enough to remember the movie "The Russians Are Coming." The Russians Are Coming.
Oh, I do remember that. Charming little film.
And how things have flipped literally since then.
Yeah.
But I blame it on international gangsters. Basically, that's what we're dealing with, is international gangsterism. And I think the current president is in over his head.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, he's a stupid guy.
Yeah, it's kind of... I think there's more than just what's going on here that is concerning him. But what I think... The one thing that bothers me is that the man, since the beginning, has revealed himself, presented himself as a shyster who is pandering hate, racism, bigotry.
Well, wait, now, shyster means a lawyer, by the way. He's not that.
Oh, well, not a shyster, but a flim-flam man. Then.
Yeah, a flim-flam man I'll go with.
You know, and that's what he's been doing all along. And he's in way over his head, but for some reason the powers that be are allowing him to be there because it's conducive to the nefarious gangster stuff they want.
Well, here's what I think, Francis, and I'm just going to say it briefly because I don't want to cut you off, but really briefly, he was useful. He was perceived, Trump was perceived as useful to a larger part of the old guard ruling class, who largely are Republican, not all of them, largely Republican. But they didn't realize that what they had on their hands was far more ambitious and far more egotistical than anything they could handle. So it got out of hand for them, even for them. And and if he's replaced, it'll be because he's just too outrageous.
Well, as hateful as he's been, and as many times as he's undermined the Constitution that he took an oath to uphold, he should have already been gone. But for some reason, people find it advantageous to have him stay there. But that's another story.
Okay.
All right, you guys take care.
Hey, I really appreciate the call. Let's go to John, who's next. John,
hello,
you're on the air.
I've got a book recommendation and a song recommendation.
All right. Why not? Go for it.
Okay, the book I stumbled across, and I'm up in Vancouver area,
mm-hmm.
It's called Trump, Russia, A Definitive History by Seth Hatina. And I'm two-thirds the way through it. It's definitely in-depth. I'll leave it at that, and I recommend it.
Thank you. Is that
it? And the other thing
Yeah.
Would be a replacement for your intro song if you were willing to consider.
Oh, we have no dedication to the song. I just always like Leonard Cohen. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I do too. This song's called The Great Song of Indifference by Bob Geldof from about 1990. I love that whole album. It's called The Vegetarians of Love, the album.
The Great Song of Indifference. Album. I don't care.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with the.
Well, no, if and when we're picked up by NBC or CBS or somebody, we'll have to think this over.
Anyway, check out the song. It's fantastic.
Thank you very much for the call, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Here's Jeremy. Jeremy, you're on the air.
Hi. I tuned in a bit late and I've been a bit distracted, but I'm glad to hear people talking about Epstein. I've been upset about him and Trump's connection to him for a long time.
Yeah.
But as far as I can tell, you didn't mention the fact that Clinton and Dershowitz have both been on Epstein.
I think we briefly did, but it's good to remember. It's a bi-party horror show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, there's no... Nobody seems clean in this matter.
I think Putin has pictures of Trump in bed with, you know, donkeys and elephants or 4-year-olds.
Peeing donkeys and elephants.
Okay, gentlemen, let's keep this in bounds,
well,
shall we?
I don't know what they've got on. Obviously, Putin has something on Trump.
I think they've also got pictures of Clinton.
Well, this is all a wild speculation, you know. Really.
Of course it's wild speculation, but given I think the documented presence of Clinton on that, you know, pedophilic abuse conveyance, it's pretty horrifying. And the thing I always want to remind people about Trump, and I've probably even said this on your show before, is that until he, you know, rebranded himself, he was a pro-abortion Democratic liberal.
That's
true. Ran for president because he didn't get invited to Chelsea Clinton's wedding.
That may well be. That may be the most profound and significant thing you've said.
and had no intention of winning and isn't very happy in the job.
Well, if you remember, his wife actually cried when they discovered that he was winning.
Yeah.
Because they were going to get a divorce, and she agreed to stick around through the election. She didn't expect him to win, but then he won, and, you know, she kind of got...
Well, he didn't win. His minions stole it, and I'm not entirely sure that he's happy about that.
Well, who knows? Who knows what Trump...
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Jeremy...
Exactly. Anyway, one other thing on that obnoxious, pretentious PhD caller person. I want to tell you the secret meaning of PhD. It means piled higher and deeper.
Yeah,
Abe
right.
Should be proud. Abe should be proud of the fact that he doesn't have one of these, and you and I think you do good radio in spite of the fact that you have one.
Hey, listen, I thank you for the call. I think I'm starting to wind down. I wanted to bring up the Alex Acosta thing because it is so horrendous and so typical of what the Trump administration really is about, that is to say corruption and indecency in every sense. And there are many big issues, but I didn't want to let that go. I do think that there is always, unfortunately, an undercurrent of disgusting behavior on the part of rulers of power, almost
always
everywhere.
Has been.
Yeah, so it's, you know, that itself isn't uncommon. What's really weird is that Trump takes these people and elevates them to high positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think there's, and this is very a broad statement I'm about to make, but I think that it has some validity, and that is that the Trump's rise to power, his nomination for a major party presidential ticket, and his eventual election is an indictment of all of us. Here's why. Trump has been his whole life rewarded for behavior that all the rest of us would consider to be sociopathic.
Yeah.
But this is not unique to Trump. Our history is replete with examples of successful capitalists who have become successful because they have indulged in and been rewarded for sociopathic behavior. Trump is sort of a special case in that he seems to be just more of a jerk and a narcissist than all the rest of them. But I think this holds. He is the very worst of what the American system can produce. And he has been given the ultimate reward within that system. his success is an indictment of our culture.
Well, I agree, except I'm a little troubled by the fact that the George Bush the wiser has died, and now he's being eulogized by everybody. The fact of the matter is he was responsible for horrible crimes in Latin America and elsewhere, that he was really a bad, bad, bad dude. And now suddenly, because he's dead and because he was more of a gentleman in presentation than Trump, he's being really unduly eulogized. But I think that's what happens whenever an ex-president dies. I don't know.
Well, there's a certain amount of that, too. But I think you're right that it's magnified because he stands, I mean, he, as you mentioned, was a bad guy and a bad president. But in contrast with the guy who's there, he looks like, you know, a respectable guy.
Well, he's always a gentleman. Harumph.
Harumph, harumph, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to try and recenter this conversation if we could.
Well, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, we're talking about what a bad week this has been for the president and how the pieces seem to be coming together in the Mueller investigation. Now, there's another thread out here to this conversation that I want to pick up now, and that is a lawsuit filed jointly by the Attorneys General of Maryland and the District of Columbia, accusing the president of illegal violations of the U.S. Constitution's Emoluments Clause.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so now for those of you who might not be familiar with the term, the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution says that the president nor any elected official may profit by way of his office.
Right.
You can't use your elected office to make yourself richer. And this especially applies to the presidency.
But, of course, it's always been sort of not really enforced in the way it should be.
No, you're absolutely right. But in modern times, the vetting process for incoming presidents in terms of most people, if you rise to the position where you are elected president,
mm-hmm.
You are almost without exception a wealthy person. You almost without exception have a significant investment portfolio. So you have to undergo a vetting process and a divestment process before you take your office, right? So this is to ensure that you can't make a bunch of decisions that benefit you and yours because of the investments that you've already made.
Right, and it's a good idea.
Right. So I did a little bit of reading on this a while back, and the process is extensive, and the scale of divestment is also pretty extensive. Presidents have been required before they take office to sell a whole bunch of stuff.
And previously, yeah, they always had to give us their tax returns.
They didn't have to. That was custom.
Right.
So there's no law that says the president has to do this.
Right.
That's just another example of the way Trump has decided to ignore
the traditions.
The norms and traditions, right. But this divestment thing is real. Trump did not go through this process. He divested himself of nothing. He has revealed nothing about the actual state of his finances and business situation. No tax returns, as you mentioned. So the Emoluments Clause, it's pretty plain to see, has been violated by this dude since he took the oath of office. So this lawsuit out of Maryland and D.C. Alleges just that. And it was hung up in court for a while because the Trump administration has been dragging its feet for a number of reasons, has said, no, we got to slow down here. But a U.S. District Court judge said, no, we're going to go forward with this. The discovery process, which is part of the whole set of legal procedures, must go forward. And this lawsuit is going to happen. Now, this is, as I mentioned, a criminal suit. So they find the president in criminal violation of the Emoluments Clause. It means two very significant things. One, they will most likely issue an indictment. So the question of whether a sitting president can be indicted is still an unclear one.
Well, remember, the beer man is on the Supreme Court now. So,
yeah, beer guy's there. So if this does go to the question, goes to the Supreme Court, they will probably immunize the president from indictment. But the other shoe to drop here is that if this is this Emoluments lawsuit is successful and the president is found guilty, then these guys, the attorneys general of Maryland, D.C., will have done the Democratic House of Representatives' work for it in that they will now have a body of evidence that has been upheld in court that proves the president violated the Emoluments Clause, and that is grounds for impeachment.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Thank you.
Bad week for the orange guy.
Yeah, no, it's good that you made that clear. We got a lot of callers back
right
in up here.
Let's go. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. In 2 years, there's going to be a presidential election.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, but what is what's the Democrats are going to put up against Trump, or are we going to let Trump have another 4 years? There's only two candidates I see that might be able to beat Trump. One is Al Franken. Democratic gropers are better than Republican gropers.
Well, I don't think Franken. I don't think Franken is going to have a shot.
Are you being tongue in cheek now? Or are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
good.
The next is Americans. Well, we is Bloomberg. Democratic billionaires are better than Republican billionaires.
Well, you're being cynical.
I think I see where you're going here.
And I catch the drift of your points, but okay.
Yeah, but it's coming up in 2 years. What are they going to do? I mean, people are going to be watching if the Democratic Party, they have to come up with some type of strategy. And now they have 2 years to think of something.
Well, yeah, they have plenty of time. Also, I want to point out they have plenty of younger and more interesting candidates, including several women that probably could whip Trump. So, I shouldn't have said that because it's too kinky already. I only want to say you may be right. There is a challenge. How do we beat this guy? The most weird thing is that there are all these people, all these incredible large numbers of people who are so angry, not realizing how it is that capitalism has changed and that the jobs that people once had no longer really exist here. They're elsewhere. And in fact, most of our economy is .com rather than online production. Anyway, I want to thank you, and I'm going to go on to, I think, somebody else. Okay? All right, let's go to Dave. Dave?
About George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah.
Please remember that he was perhaps one of the people who created Al-Qaeda by putting American troops in Saudi Arabia during the first Gulf War.
No, you're right, except that he had the brains, unlike his son, to not invade Iraq.
He knew when to quit.
Right.
And likewise, as good a human being as Jimmy Carter is, he may have helped kickstart the Taliban by deciding we absolutely could not let Afghanistan go communist.
Well, that's funny. I'm going to interrupt you just for a moment historically. Yeah, what happened in Afghanistan was that the Soviets invaded and tried with the cooperation of a lot of elements in Afghanistan to create a democratic socialist government. It didn't work. And the Soviets got their butt kicked. And they had to withdraw. And that is where a lot of this happened. So I just, to put it in a bigger picture, already there was a lot of reason why the U.S. should not have stepped into Afghanistan. And nevertheless, here we are.
Okay, continue, please.
Go ahead.
I guess that's really it.
Okay.
Other than maybe Bush 41 was the last mentally sound Republican president.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah, I think that's a statement.
Although, what an arrogant jerk he really was. All right, anyway.
Yeah, but anyway. Okay.
Okay. Speak no ill of the dead, I always say. Well, I don't always say it, obviously.
Yeah, he was, H.W. Bush was, I think, a patrician. I think that's a good word to
describe
him.
I think that's
him.
A fair word for him.
So was his son, but his son took great pains to disguise the fact.
Well, his son was in essence, a draft dodger as well.
Well, not just in essence. Okay. Mark writes into the Facebook page he asked three questions. Wasn't the transfer of $8 trillion in the two GOP tax bills to corporations and households with over $1 million impeachable?
No.
I think the answer is no.
Yeah, unfortunately, no.
No.
But it should be, but it isn't.
Are owners of capital the only ones with enforceable rights? It would seem that's increasingly the case. Third question, can the misery of the poor, seniors, disabled children, and students be normalized? Yes, it already has.
Well, it already has. In fact, one of the things that is not getting enough attention is that the Bush administration is going back on a deal that was made under a Democratic administration that promised refugees from the Vietnam War, another stupid, stupid misunderstanding of history and events, the deal we made was that people who had fought on the U.S. side from South Vietnam could come to the U.S. prior to the creation of the People's Republic of Vietnam and live here. Now Trump is rolling that back. If in fact you are a person guilty of a crime, and you should, if you're guilty of a crime, do the time. Nevertheless, they're now saying, well, we'll send these people to Vietnam, despite the fact that Vietnam says don't do that. And this is really going on.
Yeah. Yeah, he just doesn't care, does he?
No, he doesn't care about anything.
No. All right, coming up later today on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, Arturo Vargas explains why the 2020 census is gearing up to be politically charged with profound repercussions. At 10, you'll hear Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio talks to two of the artists behind King of Yes at the Portland Chinatown Museum. And at 11:30, Art Focused interviews artist Ralph Pugai about his new show, A Spiritual Guide to Brute Force. Now showing it.
Wait, a spiritual guide to brute force?
A spiritual guide to brute force. Now showing it up for gallery.
That's an irony.
Indeed. I imagine it's a funny one, though. Tune in at 11:30 to find out more. All of this coming up today on your listener-supported radio station, KBOO.
Okay, have we unloaded on Trump enough today?
No.
okay.
Hassan writes into the Facebook page to say, after all this time, they better come up with something big beyond just Manafort and Cohen. Those indictments didn't have much effect on Trump's poll numbers. To that, I'll say two things. I don't think Trump's poll numbers mean anything. There is a certain segment of the electorate that is all in for him, and there are always going to be all in for him, and that's never going to go away.
Yeah, and they also like Confederate statuary, yep. So what are you going to do?
Right, so the basement for his approval rating, I think, is probably in the 30% range. It's not going to dip below that.
I agree.
Not as long as he keeps publicly hating the same people that they hate. So beyond Manafort and Cohen, I'm going to go quickly now through a list of all the indictments and plea deals.
Ladies and gentlemen, the indictments and plea deals.
In the Mueller probe. One, George Papadopoulos, former Trump campaign policy advisor. Two, Paul Manafort, former campaign chair. We talked about him. Three, Rick Gates, former Trump campaign aide. Four, Michael Flynn, Trump's former national
security
advisor.
Oh, who could forget Michael Flynn?
Who could forget? Numbers 5 through 20, 13 Russian nationals and 3 Russian companies complicit in the hacking of the 2016.
13 Russian nationals and 3.
All right. 21, Richard Pinedo. Pleaded guilty to an identity theft charge in connection with the Russian indictments. 22, Alex van der Zwan. 23, Konstantin Kilimnik. 24 through 35, 12 Russian intelligence officers.
12 Russian intelligence officers.
And 36, Michael Cohen. 36.
Michael Cohen.
Indictments or plea deals thus far Russia investigation.
You know, it's a lot. It's a lot, you know.
Yeah.
You got to say, it's a lot. And yet.
Well, and yet. The investigation presumably is not done. Mueller has not yet tipped his hand. There is, however, you mentioned the acting Attorney General of the United States. What's his name?
I can't remember
escaping
his name.
Okay.
We both forgot. The guy who was so weird.
The guy who was not confirmed by the Senate as required by the Constitution.
Right.
The guy who's on record saying that Mueller has overstepped his bounds.
Yeah.
Who's on record as saying the president should not be indicted, a sitting president should not be indicted.
Yeah.
And who may very well decide to fire Mueller before the Democrats take over the House in January.
Thereby creating a constitutional crisis of unprecedented importance.
That's another reason, one of the largest reasons, why I think that we may be seeing a whole bunch of indictments real soon.
Well, I expect that if he's smart, he'll release them right away.
Yeah, if he's smart.
I hope so.
So Hassan, yes, they have come up with a lot beyond Manafort and Cohen. However, it's not going to have any bearing on Trump's approval ratings. That's my prediction. We also have a comment on the Facebook page from Jack. He writes, Jeffrey Epstein's little black book is so deep on every side of the proverbial aisle, indictments should fuel a serial trial virtually forever. Why was his the only wrist that was slapped? The bottom line, Epstein is accused from many sources of compromising politicians across the globe. And here's where Jack goes off the rails a little bit, I think, to impress them into serving Mossad objectives.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that
I don't know.
I think
that's,
that sounds anti-Semitic.
I don't want to dismiss it out of
no,
hand.
No, it does.
Because
I'm admittedly
ignorant of the story.
The guy by his name is obviously Jewish. Therefore, it all connects to Israel. And that's just wrong thinking.
I don't know. I have to say I plead ignorance on this fact. But we do know that he's found guilty of multiple counts of pedophilia, which is enough to land someone in jail.
Busy, busy, busy.
So what do you think is going to happen in the next several weeks with Mueller and Trump?
Well, are you asking me?
I am, yeah.
Well, I look into my crystal ball, and I see that Mueller is probably going to make his indictments public. I think that it's going to there'll be a lot of denial. Sarah will have a nervous breakdown. I suspect that the core of Trump supporters will remain the core and believe that there's a vast conspiracy that is against him and against America, by which they mean a kind of reactionary, racist, sexist, ageist society. Classist society. I suspect that they are angry because they've been dealt out of the game because of the changing nature of the economy, and it has nothing really to do with the things that they think it has to do with. I believe that there will be consequences for Trump. Now, whether or not he can actually go to jail, I don't even care. You know, just get rid of his ass. I find the whole thing very disgusting and very frightening, and in a way, kind of the culmination of my dark view of American history, which is disappointing to me.
You're saying the situation right now is the culmination of your dark view?
Yeah.
I'd say in that case, we're getting off easy. Because I thought your dark view went much deeper and darker than
well,
what
there's,
we have
there
now.
Is the profound fact of global destruction coming up and not being dealt
Indeed.
With.
That's interesting. If this is the common... Really? I thought you were much more of a cynic, Joe. I thought your dark view of America went right up to and included a fascist military takeover.
I don't really think that's in the cards.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Well, you're glad to hear me say, what the hell do you care what
well,
I say?
Because you're a smart guy and your predictions often hold up, and you're predicting, well, we won't have a fascist military takeover. That's good.
Let's save ourselves from ourselves by going to Annalisa. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. And were you talking about Whitaker?
Yes, Whitaker. Thank you. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, Whitaker. Whitaker.
We're getting old.
I don't know. For some reason, it has been engraved on my brain when I heard about that for the first time.
Well, I'm impressed.
And of course, on Democracy Now! This morning, Amy Goodman, with these excellent guests that she had, explained more and in more detail about Herbert Bush, about his war temperament, and then with the contrast before the trial for instance Casper Weinberger, he was pardoned the evening before his trial was going to be on,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
that relates now to what Trump is going to do with some of these people that work for him that have been accused and possibly will be indicted for the crimes that they committed. And when it comes to Epstein, those were not young women, those were children.
No, you're right, and it's important to understand that. We're not talking about people capable of making rational decisions and are mature enough to do it.
Well, even if they were 18 or 19 or 20, then you still don't know how to make maybe those kind of decisions. But and then, what was my last point on that? I just, of course, escaped my brain.
It's going around.
Anyway, Democracy Now! Amy Goodman did such a good job of bringing that all back to the whole Bush family before. The senior, his father, and I think Preston, if I remember correctly, which is a long time ago that I learned about that, was involved with the Nazis.
I believe you're right. Actually, I think that there is a lot of connections in that family with people who we find reprehensible.
So,
yeah.
So, and of course, he did one of the good things that I remember he did, he enacted the law for People with Disabilities Act.
Yeah, yeah, and that was an important piece of legislation, really.
Yeah, that's what so that was a really good thing that he did. And of course, that's what most presidents do, one or more good things.
Well, that's why we call him Bush the Smarter.
Yeah, anyway, thank you. Have a good day.
You too, thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have to wind it up.
Yeah, I think we are.
I don't know if we got enough venom out.
I feel better.
I can see that you feel better.
That's right.
Hey, you can stick around. Next week, I'm going to have an amazing show, which is totally different than usual shows.
That's right. I will not be here next week.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Oh, well, thanks.
Hey, thanks to everybody for your calls. We'll talk to you again soon.
From those nads in Tiananmen Square, it's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay.
KABU Community Radio is hiring a development director. This 32-hour-a-week position develops and implements the yearly fundraising plan, develops promotional and press materials, and supports the anti-oppression work of KABU. Send a cover letter and resume to Delphine Crescenzo at del@kabu.org or send to KABU Development Hire, 20 Southeast 8th, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please answer in the cover letter the question, why is KABU important? More information on the development director position is available at kabu.fm/developmenthire2018.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Shine With Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott downtown in Portland. Shine is the annual brunch and fundraiser for the Q Center, a place of resilience, strength, and love. This year marks 15 years since Q Center began serving the community. At Shine, there will be a cabaret, brunch, and honoring of Q Center heroes. Again, that's Shine with Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott, 1401 Southwest NATO Parkway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm at the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and it's 1 minute after 9. Coming up this morning at 10, you'll hear Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio talks to two of the artists behind King of Yees at the Portland Chinatown Museum. And 11:30, Art Focus interviews artist Ralph Pugai about his new show, A Spiritual Guide to Brute Force, now showing at Up4 Gallery. All of these KBOO